right there at a live Breakthrough to Success training. It's kind of strange. I can't even buy you a fake cake today.
I know, it's weird. For years, they would buy me this cake, but it was really a cereal box with icing on it. I'd go to slice it. They did that 3 years in a row. I said, remember last year when you did that? And then they do it again. I was like such an idiot. Anyway.
The first year there was a cereal box because that's all we could afford.
Is that what it was?
Got a little fancy. And the third time we did it, I remember it was 2005 because we're at the Ritz-Carlton. I had them make this elaborate, massive cake. And you told the story. And then you went to cut into it. And Bob and I went, gotcha. So what we love about you, you're gullible sometimes. It's awesome. And you're predictable. So, whatever. I think, Jocelyn, does anybody have something to say? I think there's a little band production about to happen.
I think that everyone wants to sing happy birthday. So I'm going to let everyone unmute themselves if you would like to.
And we'll tell you on three to start. So we're going to try to make this really good. Okay.
So I'm going to record it on my phone.
What?
Let's record this.
Okay.
You too.
You have to unmute.
All right.
Be quiet until it's time.
I'm letting a few more people in before we start. Okay, go ahead and unmute yourselves if you haven't. All right. On three. One, two, three.
Happy birthday, Jack.
I'm going to go ahead and mute everyone again so we can start.
Happy birthday, Jack.
All right. Jack, you should be able to unmute yourself.
Oh, there you go. So all that I just said, you didn't hear. So basically what I said was, I'm really glad you're all here. Thank you for the birthday wishes. And today we're going to focus on creating a ideal vision for your life. One of the things we know is that in order to succeed, you have to have a vision of where it is you want to go. We talk about in the success principles, going from where you are to where you want to be. So the issue is, where do you want to be? And we're going to work on that and make that as specific as possible today so that your subconscious mind, the law of attraction will kick in, your creative juices will kick in. We have to program your brain. They'll say we program a GPS system. The GPS system in the car, if you have either Waze or you have Google Maps in your phone or any of those kinds of programs, what happens is you simply put in the destination. And then because it's triangulated between the satellite, where you are and where you want to go, it can tell you, you know, turn left on Front Street, go 7 blocks, turn right on, Harbor Avenue, and then get on the freeway, drive for 80 miles, get off at Long Beach, etc. So the reality is our brain works the same way. It needs to have a clear vision of what it is we want. A lot of people that are somewhat more involved in spiritual pursuits often say, well, I just let inner guidance guide me. And that's fine. However, the way inner guidance really works is that, for me at least, is we have a vision that we've gotten. You've gotten in touch with some of your life purpose. Many of you are much more clear about that. And so what happens is we want to create a vision that will help you fulfill that purpose and also all the other areas of your life. We're going to look at 7 areas of your life today, not unlike we did earlier in the program, and look at what would your ideal vision be in each of those areas. And then what happens is once we've got that clear, then you can, you're aligned with your purpose, which comes from a higher intuitive place. You can call it God, spirit, source, energy, your higher self, your, you know, highest self, whatever. And then we can tune in every day through meditation, through visualization, through just being silent. And what happens is we will get downloads of things that we need to attend to, things that we need to do, insights and creative ideas to act on, inspirational thoughts. And those are then in alignment with your purpose and in alignment with the fulfillment of your vision. Can your vision change over time? Yes. Does your purpose change over time? Rarely. In other words, my purpose is to inspire and empower people to live their highest vision in the context of love and joy. But that's included writing the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, which I no longer do. That includes doing Train the Trainer program. That includes working with you guys. And so all of these forms of which I manifest that purpose can change. And my vision of training 1 million trainers by the year 2030, my vision of having 1 billion Chicken Soup for the Soul books by 2030, all of those things become visions in the service of my purpose. And they're much more, if you will, specific. And then we move into goals, which we'll talk about today as well. So
Jack, before we get started, can we just, sure. Should you have people type in the chat, like, where are you with that? So first of all, as far as we worked around life purpose last, and so just on a scale of 1 to 10, how are you feeling about life purpose? But also, how are you feeling about your vision right now? Do you have clarity on that vision? Just kind of get a feel for where everybody is.
Well, let's divide them into purpose. You know, what's purpose first?
Purpose.
Yeah. So we get everything from tens to nines, fives, eights, sixes, seven, nine, six, eight, seven, nine, four.
They're going so fast. Slow down, people.
There's a lot of people putting them at the same time.
I love that. Group participation.
Great.
Vision. Now we're getting some vision. All right.
Good. Let me say too that purpose is something that usually takes a little time to crystallize. You know, we worked on it a little bit and it's like facets on a diamond. You know, the more you polish that diamond, the more you can see it, the more it sparkles, the more clarity you get. And so what happens is for some of you, you know, you're clear when you're a kid, my purpose is to be a musician. My purpose is to, I want to go and be a doctor and to be a healer. And then other people, you know, they're still kind of trying to figure it out, as many of you. And a lot of times we found in the past in our coaching programs and things, people would say, if I don't know my purpose, how can I go on to the next thing? And you don't have to have that totally clear in order to be able to have a vision for what you want, in order to be able to set goals for what you want. And so don't let that stop you. And I find as people start to clarify their vision and set their goals and see what turns them on, et cetera, in terms of bringing joy, their purpose becomes often more clear to them. The other thing to remember.
I'm going to stop you for 1 second.
Go ahead.
I just heard the story, but you just randomly took a class in college that kind of went, hello. Right. So just tell that.
Tell that? Yeah, well, no, I was majoring in Chinese history at Harvard, thinking I was going to go into the State Department and become a diplomat. And what happened was my freshman year, I took all these history courses and sophomore year and junior. And then my senior year, I was needing a couple easy classes because I had some really hard, challenging classes. And I thought I want to balance out my curriculum with some easy A's. And my roommate said, hey, there's this course called SOCREL 10, Social Relations 10. And you just go there and you talk about your feelings and everybody gets an A. And I thought, well, that's cool. So we sat there and we talked about our feelings and we explored our values and things like that. Not too different from some of the things we're doing here. And I just fell in love with it. And I thought, wow, I want to grow up and do this. This is amazing. And I went to see if I could major in, you know, get into the graduate school in psychology. And they said, you haven't given one class in psychology as an undergraduate. We can sneak you into psychology through education. You can go to study education, be a history teacher, take more educational psychology classes. But that changed my life, that one class. And so sometimes you will have an experience and you experience so much joy doing it. You've probably heard me talk about joy is your feedback system that tells you you're on purpose. So when you're experiencing joy, It means you're doing the things that you're meant to do. You have a built-in system, built into your DNA, if you will, about what it is that you're meant to do, because when you're doing it, you feel happy. You know, some kids grew up playing video games, and turns out if you're in a tank, you're in the army, and you're running the tank from inside, it's like a video game. And so a lot of people actually found out that these skills that their parents were saying, could you ever just study and stop playing video games, actually served them. A lot of the people that are now creating video games, and they make more money than movies, hundreds of millions of dollars. So, you know, whatever it is, I had two sons and a stepson living with me at one point in time. And one of them was just a business person. All he wanted to do was buy stuff and sell it for more. And so he'd buy these scooters and sell them to school for, you know, less than they were selling on, Amazon or something. And he's now working in a kind of, what do you call it? He went to business school. He graduated from Wharton. He's now doing, investment banking. My other two sons were into music. All they wanted to do was sing and play the drums and so forth. And that's what they do now. And they were doing that when they were like 5 and 6 years old. So that's what made them happy. So again, many of us get talked out of our natural dreams because our parents don't think there's a way you can make money doing that. My dad told me, why don't you get a real job? You know, can't you work for General Electric or Ford Motor Company that's got a pension? You're going to be, happy. You're out there all by yourself taking these risks. You know, what are you really doing? So anyway, going back to joy is your guidance system. And so if you start looking at what brings me the greatest joy and just keep focusing on that during the day, that'll help give you some insight as well into what your true purpose is. All right.
Can I go over housekeeping really quick before we
start? Yeah, good. I just wanted to give a context for the call. Now you can do some of the logistics and then we'll jump into actually doing it.
You can't do anything wrong today. It's your birthday, so we have to give you a hall pass. You want to act out, today's the day to do it.
All right.
Let me pull up the stuff. All right. So if you are following along in the Facebook group, we are on day 10 of the challenge. So we only have 4 more days to go. And I've been loving seeing what all of you guys are writing. A lot of you have had great insights on these different questions. So it's been really fun. If you haven't gotten in there yet, get in there. It's not too late. And make sure you're commenting to get all of your tracking done. And then the other thing that is on the books for next week is Patty's office hours, the 27th from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And the last one was just another reminder of that bonus mastermind session Thursday, September 3rd at 3 p.m. And we'll send out the Zoom links for that probably next week when we send out our weekly email. All right. That's all I have. That was easy.
I have one more thing. So today's challenge question is, what causes are you most passionate about? So I'm going to ask Jack now so he can say it live to everybody, and then he doesn't have to think about doing a Facebook Live later. So you're going to get, this is part of your birthday. So take this is one of your gifts. So let's talk about what you're most passionate about when it comes to causes.
I think the cause I'm most passionate about right now is there's an organization called the Pachamama Alliance. Pachamama in the language of northern part of South America and Mexico and Guatemala and, you know, all those places. Pachamama means the sky, the earth, and all time, which means basically the universe. And what they're doing is working on, saving the rainforest and bringing the wisdom of the south to the north, like indigenous wisdom. And I've been down to Ecuador, lived with the Achuar Indians, native, indigenous people on their land for a week, participated in many of their religious and spiritual ceremonies, and just really got convinced that we have to preserve as much of the rainforest as possible. And also look to our indigenous tribes, whether they're in North America, South America, Asia, wherever, there's so much wisdom. I just interviewed a woman who wrote a book called Cherokee Wisdom. And interesting enough, she runs the pension fund for the entire county of Los Angeles, billions of dollars that she runs. And yet at the same time, she is living her Cherokee heritage as a person talks about how we're all connected. And when one person's hurting, we're all hurting. And so I think, bringing that wisdom into the forefront and making sure we preserve the lungs of our planet is one of the things that's very important. Also that they're working on environmental sustainability and social justice causes. So a lot of things all wrapped up into one. And so I support them with my time, with my energy, with conducting seminars for their courses that they put on. And that's it.
And she has a book called The Soul of Money too, which is a great book.
Lynn Twist, who wrote The Soul of Money, which I wrote the foreword to the new revised edition for, is a great, great, great book about how most of us are striving for a lot. And she says we really ought to strive for enough. You know, if we have the 1% who own, 93% of America, and, they own more than the bottom half all combined. And so how much is enough? And so Lynn's doing some very powerful work with that. And, I want us all to be prosperous and abundant, but not to the extension or to the extent of where we are actually injuring the environment, injuring other people.
Well, and that was her vision, right? The whole Pachamama Alliance came through her through a vision of bringing this together. And she's raised hundreds of millions of dollars. She studied with Mother Teresa. She's an amazing woman.
Her
soul. There's always enough, right? And of course she could get $1 million, even if you make $5, you'll write her a check. I remember my husband's like, I'm writing her a check for $100,000. I'm like, okay, why don't you just make that decision tomorrow? But because she has such a great, she's coming from such service and such goodness that you-
And integrity,
You can't help but love her, which is so cool when you're sharing your vision. You kind of have to come from that place if you really want it to be a big deal.
Well, I'll say one more thing about her and vision, and then we'll jump into what we're doing here today. She was literally at a drumming circle somewhere like in Mexico or Guatemala, and people were all lying with their heads toward the center of a circle. These were all like people that were on a spiritual quest. She was one of them. And as this drumming was happening, she saw all of a sudden like she was like a bird, and she was flying over this big expanse of green forest, jungle, whatever you want to call it. And all of a sudden these faces started coming up out of the green, faces with, paint on their faces in a very distinct pattern. And they were faces that looked like they were in despair. They were looking for help. And she felt very much called to want to respond to these faces. And she went to Stanford University and through an ethnologist was able to find out this was the Achuar tribe, one of only two tribes that were not conquered by the conquistadores when the Spanish came in and conquered most of South America. They were that fierce of fighters. And so she felt drawn to go down there. She couldn't get it out of her mind, this vision. And so she went down to Ecuador. They went into the rainforest, and with a translator who could speak Achuar in Spanish and English, were able to translate with them. And what they said when she got there was, if you've come here to help us, leave now. If you've come here because you realize your future and our future are intertwined and we need each other in order to both survive, then stay and we'll talk. And so what they realized is they need us to help stop the destruction of the rainforest. And we need the rainforest to exist in order that we have enough oxygen to breathe and to, not have these terrible weather patterns that we're seeing that are partly coming from global warming and all the things that are happening in terms of the environment. So it was like a vision, and she couldn't get this vision out of her head. She'd be meeting in New York with stock investors, to get them to invest in what she was doing at the time, the Hunger Project, to feed the hungry in the world. And everyone's face would turn into these faces with these paintings on them, these markings. And so this vision overtook her. And so sometimes the vision comes from deep within inside us. Sometimes it comes from outside us in a spiritual way. And you get someone like Lynn who's driven by that powerful of vision. I mean, her whole life, as Patty said, is passionate. I've never heard her speak where she didn't cry and the audience didn't cry at the same time, no matter if she's speaking for 15 minutes or an hour. Anyway, let's focus on your vision. And basically, if we want to go to the next slide there, we're going to start with what we call a light vision exercise. We're going to do two exercises today with your eyes closed. This first one, I'll describe it, and then we're going to do it. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to ask you to imagine you're 85 or 90 years old. You're still very healthy. You're sitting on the front porch of your, you know, house or apartment or wherever you are in a rocking chair. And you're reflecting on your life. You're looking back over, you know, where you lived, who you were with, what you accomplished, the travel you did, the difference you made, et cetera. And I'll guide you through that. And this is just a way of beginning to look at what do you want to be able to say about your life when you get to the end? What would you like your eulogy to say? You know, what would you like people to say about you? And so go ahead right now, if you can, and just close your eyes wherever you're sitting or lying or standing. And take a few deep breaths. Like if you just inhale for the count of six and exhale for the count of six. Take a few more of the, what we call these deep cleansing breaths. One more. And just imagine now that you've led a very long, happy, fulfilling, successful, impactful life. And you're 85, 90 years old. You're sitting in a comfortable rocking chair somewhere, a place that you feel comfortable and at peace. And you're looking back over your life. And just take a moment to think about, see what comes to mind. If you had lived the perfect life, the life that was totally fulfilled in terms of relationships, family, income, impact, fun, vacations, travel, having the possessions you wanted, being able to do whatever you wanted, whenever you wanted to do it. Just begin to reflect what happened in that life. Just imagine having lived the perfect life. Just keep filling in more details of that perfect life. Very good. Then go ahead and open your eyes. Take as much time as you need. and take a moment, either on paper or in your computer. I'm going to give you a couple minutes, just 2 minutes, to write down as much as you can remember about that ideal life. Who were you with? What did you do? Where did you go? What did you accomplish? Whose lives did you impact? What experiences did you have? And I'll be quiet and let you write. Take about 20 more seconds to write. All right, very good. So let me have your attention back here, if you would. And this is what we call the long view. You know, it's a long-term vision for your life. And what we're going to do now is scale that down a little bit. You know, we talk about the idea of living your life from you go to the future, and then you say, this is the life I want. Now I've got a planet looking backwards. And so we're going to look at 7 areas of your life. You see the slide here from General Wesley Clark. He said it doesn't take any more effort to dream a big dream than it does to dream a small dream. He used to be the commander of Allied Forces of NATO and later ran for the Democratic candidacy for presidency. He didn't win it, but that's how powerful he was and how influential and how successful he was. And what he's saying there is it doesn't take any more effort to dream a big dream. It doesn't take more brain cells. You don't burn up more calories. You don't have to scrunch up your face more when you focus on it. Excuse me. And so what happens is, as we look at our future, I want you to believe that even though you can't see how to do it today, that I want you to commit to the what you want. And as we go through this program together, I'm going to show you how to make the how show up. But for now, we want to focus on the what. And it doesn't matter if you don't have the college degree, the amount of money, the friends, all the things you think you need that you don't have are actually just things that normally get in the way of allowing you to dream big. So today is about dreaming. Today is about saying, if it were possible, you know, if a genie came down and said you could have anything you want in any area of your life, what would you ask for? And so it's possible to create a life that's magnificently fulfilling in every specific area of it, in health and fitness and money, in relationships and your career and making a difference in the world. having fun, hobbies, travel, all that stuff. There are people who live those lives. I feel I'm one of them, and Patty's one of them. And so we want you to have that same thing. So basically, the idea here is we've looked out very far, and now we're going to ask you to think about 5 years into the future, where you would be. So here's this guy named David Liniger. David Liniger founded RE/MAX. He's a CEO. He's a billionaire. And when he founded it, he didn't have any money whatsoever. And he said, small dreams attract small people and big dreams attract big people. So that's why we want to be living a big dream. The dream itself, like, you know, if Martin Luther King had said, I'm going to open up a chain of 7-Elevens in Alabama, I'm not sure a lot of people would have got on buses to go make that happen. But the fact that he had a dream of ending racism, that he had a dream of boys and girls of any color being judged by their character and not by the color of their skin, that was something that, you know, was a big dream. And a lot of people said, I want to play. You know, we have a dream of having 1 million trainers worldwide by 2030. And so we developed an online train the trainer program as part of that. And we have over, you know, close to 4,000 people now that are graduates of this program, teaching this work in over 117 countries. Or actually 117 countries. And so the reality is that dreaming big is part of the game you have to do. So this is one of our big dreams that we have. And you can go to the next slide if you want to. And so there you see, there you see some of the places where we have trainers all over the world. And, you know, we're continuing to add trainers every week. We just, I think we added 20 more people in the last couple of weeks. So you can go to the next slide. We're at 117 countries now. So what we're going to do today, we're going to look at 7 vision categories that we want you to focus on. And I'm going to take you 1 minute to focus on that category. I'm going to explain it to you and then have you visualize it for a minute and then perfectly the way it would be. And then I'm going to have you write for a minute and then we'll go to the next one. So we can stop with these first two. I'm going to describe them real quickly. So finances. I want you to think when we go to finances, not just how much money you would have, but how much money are you making on a, what's your monthly salary, your annual income? How much money do you have in your savings account? If you're a business, what's your, you know, what's your profitability as opposed to just your revenues? It's one thing to make a lot of money. It's another thing to hang on to some of it. Do you have financial advisors? Do you have an accountant? Do you have an investment advisor? Do you know the president of your bank? Could you borrow money if you needed it? So obviously we want to have all of these things in place at some point in our life. Career and business. What would you like to be doing if you could do anything at all? Would you have to go back to school to be able to do that? Is there a degree you need in order to do that? Who would you like to be working with? You know, one time, you know, for a long time, we were doing working with anybody like we're doing in this coaching program. And then we realized we really love working with authors because we are authors and we're best-selling authors. So we have some of our courses, you know, like our bestseller blueprint course aimed at supporting authors because we love working with them. So we said, that's some people we want to work with, entrepreneurs. Patty really loves working with women. She's got several different courses and programs she works with that because she loves to work with women because she is one and she knows the challenges she's had and she gets great fulfillment out of doing that. So where would you like to be working? Outside, inside? You know, forest rangers love to be in nature. Other people love to be inside, working in a laboratory at a university. Relationships. You know, think about your family. Think about your friends. You know, we have friends that literally get together with their friends and they'll do, like, I know some women that go to a spa like in Arizona every year for a week with their 12 best women friends, or they take vacations with them. People have support groups. My wife's in 2 women's support groups that meet every week, actually. So are you getting along with your spouse? Do you wish that relationship was healthier, happier, juicier, more romantic, more supportive? Is there a sister you're not talking to that you wish you could connect with, or maybe wish your mother and you were having a better relationship? Maybe you're single and you'd like to be married. Maybe you're married and you're not so sure. So whatever it is, what would be the ideal relationships in your life? And then the next category is health and fitness. And that includes a lot of things. It includes your flexibility. How flexible are you? You know, Pilates and yoga and things like that. Can you touch your toes? How strong are you? Do you have endurance in terms of being able to run? Do you get out of breath going up the stairs? So flexibility, strength, and endurance are three things that measure fitness. But also, is your body pain-free? Are you able to move and dance the way you'd love to? Do you feel pleasure in your body? You know, have you gotten to the place where sex is either something you don't think about or something that's painful, you wish you could have that better in your life? What are your measurements in terms of, you know, your waist? Are you obese? Are you overweight? Would you like to be thin and healthy that way? Would you like to have a lower cholesterol, lower blood sugar level? So think about all the areas of health and fitness. If you had the ideal life, what would that be? And the next category is free time and recreation. So if you could do anything you want, maybe you want to have a garage band. Patty and I have a friend who lives in San Diego, who's a psychologist, who decided she always wanted to be a singer. And she was fairly comfortable financially from her psychology practice. So she hired a singing coach. She hired a songwriter to work with her. She wrote with that person all these songs, went into a studio, recorded them with a, you know, live band, and made an album. And then handed that out to all of her friends and sold it on the internet and got to live her dream of being a singer. Now, does she perform on Broadway? No, but she got to live out that part of her life. And so is there travel you want to do, vacations you want to take, places you haven't been? You know, I still want to go to China and see the clay soldiers in Xi'an and walk the wall and so forth and go down the Yangtze River. So these are visions that I have for recreation and fun time. And maybe there's some games or sports you'd like to play, tennis and golf and so forth. Personal and spiritual growth. You know, are there courses you want to take? Do you wish you were more less judgmental, more just compassionate and at peace in your life? Would you like to study with a meditation master or have a spiritual teacher? Are you finding the church you're going to is not as fulfilling as you'd like? And maybe there's another church you'd find would be more fulfilling, or mosque or temple. So the idea being that, you know, what is it you want to grow? And being in a course like this, are there other courses and coaching programs you'd like to take and levels you'd like to reach? And the next area is contribution and service. And so, you know, if you could make a difference in any area in the world, what would it be? You know, maybe you'd like to have scholarships for inner city kids, or you'd like to fund music programs, or like me, you'd like to work on, you know, saving the environment, or maybe it's rescuing dogs and cats or animals that have been abandoned. Whatever it might be, education, training, what would you like to do there? And then finally, I think we have a category called possessions. May not be on the thing there, but we'll talk about it when we get to the guided visualization. What are the things you'd love to own that you don't own? It might be a house, a vacation home, a car, a boat, you know, a helicopter like Tony Robbins has, whatever. The point being that, you know, you have the ability to create all that if you want, but you have to be clear about what it is you want. So that's what we're going to do in this exercise. So before we go in, there's an exercise that will help us get clearer. It's called the Quick Coherence Technique. And I'm going to share it with you conceptually now, and then we'll do it. And this was developed by a group of people at a place called HeartMath. And some of the people that are studying the qualities of the heart, the qualities of love, the qualities of consciousness, the qualities of awareness. And they've got all these PhD and MD doctors and scientists working very diligently to measure what it is that we are experiencing in our body physically and energetically, and that can be measured by machinery and instruments when we're in a state of appreciation. And when we're in a state of appreciation, we go into what they call coherence. Our heart and our brain waves go into this coherence state. And when we do that, we get better answers. And we also know from the law of attraction that appreciation, gratitude, always precedes manifestation, which is why we always, you know, tell people you want to start your day not only with meditation, affirmations, visualization, but also a gratitude exercise. And we'll talk more about that as we go through this coaching program. But for now, what I'm going to have you do in a moment is I'll have you close your eyes. You can keep them open until I'm finished talking. Close your eyes. And then you'll be imagining, as you breathe in, even though you'll be breathing in through your mouth or your nose, you're going to imagine the air is coming in through your chest, right into your heart. Like there's an opening in your chest, and the air is coming right into your heart. And breathing, as you do, expanding your heart. So imagine your heart growing like you're blowing up a balloon, the heart space, the heart energy getting brighter and larger. And then I, at some point, I will ask you to keep breathing like that, but also to then begin to focus on someone, a person, a place, or a thing that you really appreciate. And you'll know you're doing that when your face starts to smile. You know, it could be a dog, it could be a pet, it could be a thing you own, like your Martin guitar, it could be your house, it could be a child that you love, a husband, a wife, a friend, a spiritual teacher, Buddha, Jesus, Muhammad. The point being that it puts you in a state of gratitude and appreciation. And we'll be there for just a few, you know, maybe a minute, and then we'll come out. I'll actually take you into the first area of what we're going to focus on in terms of your vision, which will be one of the ones that will come up on a slide, which I don't see yet, but we don't need to. Okay, so go ahead and close your eyes. And what I want you to do is just get into a relaxed position with your spine fairly straight if you're sitting. If you're lying down, make sure you stay awake. So sometimes people will do this by having one arm, like, you know, your elbow is bent, so you're hands up. So if you do fall asleep, it falls down and wakes you up. But I recommend sitting as you do this. All right. So with your eyes closed, begin to breathe. And let your breaths become longer. We know that when we inhale for a slow count of six and exhale for a slow count of six, it changes our brain waves. It relaxes our body. And it puts us into a much more coherent state. Just the breathing. And as I said before, imagine the breath is coming in through opening in your chest, straight into your heart. Continue that breathing slowly into your heart, where your physical heart is located, just in the middle and to the little left of the center of your chest, underneath your ribs. A couple more deep breaths as you inhale through your chest into your heart expanding with each breath. And now, as you continue to breathe in through your heart, continuing that deep six count breathing in and out. Begin to focus your attention on someone, something, or some place that you really appreciate, that you have great gratitude for. It could be a person, an animal, an object, a place in nature, a spiritual retreat center, whatever it might be. And as you focus on that, really allow yourself to feel this tremendous appreciation. With each breath you take in, that appreciation grows, and the energy in your heart expands. As you continue to breathe, imagine a beam of white light coming from the ceiling in through the roof of your house or apartment, wherever you might be, in a car, in a van, right down through the top of your head, down your spine, into your heart. And with each breath you continue to take, as you experience appreciation for this person, place, or thing, you find your heart beginning to radiate with this light. It's coming down through the top of your head, into your spine, into your heart, then radiating out from your heart to every cell in your body, down into your stomach and lower back, up into your shoulders, out into your arms, all the way into your hands and fingers, down through your buttocks and hips and into your legs, all the way down into your feet. So your whole body is vibrating with this radiant white light. Filled with appreciation. And then imagine drawing all that light back into your heart. So our heart is full and expanded. And with your eyes closed, I want you to focus on the first area of your life. Your eyes are closed. And the first area we're going to focus on is financial. What do you want? If you could have anything at all in the area of finances, how much money in the bank, annual income, profits for your company if you're an entrepreneur, retirement fund, stock market investments, people to support you. Keep imagining you can have it any way you want. What would you have? What would be happening? Just keep focusing on the area of finances for a few more seconds. You could have anything you want. What would it be? 5 years from now, what does it look like in your life? Everything you want. And then go ahead and open your eyes and go ahead and write down whatever you got in touch with. What does your ideal life look like in the area of finances? You have 1 minute to write. And then stop. If you find that you didn't have enough time to write, just kind of take, you know, word for word notes, if you will, instead of like trying to write out whole sentences. Okay, so close your eyes again. We're going to focus on career and business. So with your eyes closed, just take a couple deep breaths. Experience your heart full of love and appreciation. Then in the area of career, if you're a you know, your professional life, if you're like a lawyer, a doctor, coach, consultant, if you want to be an employee somewhere, where would you love to be working? If you want to be running your own business, what would that look like? So if you could have the ideal career or the ideal business, fill in all the details. What would you be doing? Where would you be doing it? Who would you be doing it with? What support would you have? How would that look and sound and feel? Go ahead and visualize that. And then open your eyes and go ahead and write for a minute. Capture as much as you can of what you just got in touch with. Just writing down as much detail as you can, what you're doing in your ideal business or career 5 years from now. What's it look like? What's it sound like? What's it feel like to you? And very good. Go ahead, stop writing and close your eyes again. And we'll go to the next category. With your eyes closed, again, just focus on your breathing, a couple of deep breaths. And then place your awareness in the field of relationships. If you could have the ideal relationships with friends, family members, colleagues, neighbors, whatever. You could have any relationship you want and it was perfect the way you had it. What would be happening and who would you be doing it with? And once again, open your eyes, come on back, and go ahead and write that down. What would your ideal relationships? Who would you be in a relationship with? What would you be experiencing in that relationship 5 years from now in your ideal life? Everything's exactly the way you want it. And then go ahead and stop writing and close your eyes again. Take a few of those deep, long 6-count breaths. And now focusing on the area of health and fitness. Terms of endurance, flexibility, feeling good, being healthy, pain-free, disease-free. What would your ideal life look like in the area of health and fitness 5 years from now if you could have anything you wanted? Then go ahead and open your eyes and write down that. In the area of health and fitness, if you could have anything you want in terms of your weight, your healthiness, your fitness level, your ability to run 6 miles, whatever it is, maybe you're biking every day, going to the gym, you've got all the resources you need, a personal trainer. Very good. Go ahead and stop writing and we'll go to the next one. Close your eyes. Take a few deep breaths. Focus on your heart. Knowing that it's possible to have anything you want. You're a script writer for your life. Life by design, life by intention. In the area of free time and recreation, if you could do anything you wanted at all, have whatever support you needed, whatever people to do it with, go anywhere in the world, pursue any hobby. Maybe you just want to sit and read, play music, whatever it is, what would you do 5 years from now if you could have exactly the way you wanted it? And go ahead and open your eyes and write down. If you could have anything you want in terms of free time and recreation, what would it be? Okay, very good. Just a few more to go. Close your eyes and stop writing, and we'll go to the next area, which is personal and spiritual growth. So 5 years from now, where would you like to be if you could do anything at all? Where would you like to be in terms of, like, you know, calmness and peacefulness and compassion and enlightened state of consciousness? And also, are there things you'd like to have available to you, spiritual retreats, a spiritual teacher, a spiritual community, a church or mosque or temple that you really love going to, or, you know, maybe there's a meditation technique you'd like to have mastered. Maybe you'd like to be reading the Bible one, you know, cover to cover, whatever it is. Go ahead and visualize your ideal life in terms of the area of personal and spiritual growth. Maybe you'd like to go on a spiritual pilgrimage to somewhere, or go to a retreat for a month. Then go ahead and open your eyes and go ahead and write for a minute. Capture that. And then go ahead and close your eyes again. And we're going to focus on the area of possessions, things you'd like to own. So with your eyes closed, take a couple deep breaths. And think about all the things that, if you could have, that you wanted. It might be a better television set. It might be a second car. It might be a garage. It might be a pool table. It might be better computer system. It might be a home studio where you could record things. Could be a gym in your house. Could be a boat, a plane, clothing, jewelry, furniture, You could artwork, whatever it is you want, musical instruments. If you could have anything at all, what would it be in your ideal vision? 5 years from now, you've achieved it, you own it. What would it be? And go ahead and open your eyes, capture those quickly. Write them down. And one last time, go ahead and close your eyes. We'll focus on the last category, which is contribution and service. Take a deep breath. In 5 years from now, if you could be doing anything at all, it could be philanthropic work, volunteer work, money you're contributing, what cause, what contribution would you like to make? What result would you like to produce in the world, whether it's ending hunger or feeding children or teaching people to read, you know, whatever it might be. I won't give you too many ideas. You know what you care about. But just imagine there's no limit. You can actually do it, make it happen. What would you be doing? Or what would you have done? And come on back with your eyes open. Very good. And what I'd like you to do now is, if you're willing to share your vision, we're going to have a couple people share their vision, take about 2 minutes, 3 minutes each to share their vision with the whole group. If you'd be willing to do that, would you just type your name in the chat, and then we're going to pick someone, and you're going to get an opportunity to share your vision with the entire group of people. that are watching this right now. So go ahead. If you're willing to share your vision with the whole group, type your name in. I see a number of people. Okay, looks about like 20 people out of 225 have decided to be willing to share their vision. So I'm not going to actually have anyone share their vision, but what I want you to do, I want you to look at what stopped you from typing in your name. In other words, what did you say about your vision that would have stopped you? Like what I told myself about my vision is what? Sometimes we say it's too personal, it's too big, you know, whatever. What did you say? This is what I do want you to type in into the chat. And all of you who didn't type your name in, and there's a lesson here we'll talk about in just a minute. But what did you tell yourself about your vision that made you not type it in? That made you reluctant to say, I'll share it. I'm looking at it's not clear enough, not well-formed enough, too big, personal reasons, still writing. It's too big, wanted to give others a chance, not organized, not formed enough, I'm too young, it's too huge, I'm shy, it's not big enough, it's too big. A lot of too bigs, I like this, it's interesting, not good enough, too boring, too much competition, too wordy, not enough yet, doesn't feel possible, still writing. I'm just reading things that people are typing in. Not complete, too big, too personal, not clear enough, I'm not ready yet. Gosh, I love it. Afraid to get judged by others, too grand and not defined enough. Just, there's like 99 messages below this. Okay, good. So if you can bring up the next slide, Jocelyn. The next slide, my vision is. Now, just scroll down there. These are the things we always hear. Unrealistic, not achievable, not fully developed, not clearly formed, open to judgment and criticism, unbelievable, too spiritual, too woo-woo, too personal, too big or not big enough, weird, strange. So what happens is we all have reasons we don't share our vision. And the problem with that is we know that one of the things that makes a vision real is when people share it. We may remember John F. Kennedy, a president of the United States, saying we're going to put a man on the moon by the end of the decade. And the reality was we did that. He said it in 1962. I think we did it in 1968, ahead of schedule. A whole bunch of people said, I want to be part of that vision. Martin Luther King gave his I Have a Dream speech, shared his vision for a world without prejudice. And what happens? All these people showed up and, you know, went down and crossed bridges and you know, marched and voted and did legislation and contributed money. Because the vision can't be supported if people don't know about it. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do as part of your homework is to share your vision with someone before you go to bed today. Someone today, share your vision. It could be your spouse, someone you live with. It could be someone else in the course you know about. It could be someone in your mastermind group, an accountability partner. But the idea is I want you to share your vision and find out what happens when you share it. And the reality is, can we go to the next slide? I love this quote. It says, one of the main things that stops people from manifesting their vision is they don't share their vision with enough people. This is a friend of mine, Martin Rood, who's also a trainer. And what he said is, I can tell you what people's response will be to your vision. And the answer is, it'll be whatever it is. Now, there will be some people that will rain on your parade and say, that's crazy, you can't do it, that's impossible, whatever. But 99% of the people are going to say, hey, that's a great vision. I'm happy for you. I want you to do it. The other thing that'll happen is that a lot of people will say, hey, you need to talk to so-and-so. You need to read this book. I can hook you up with that person. So I'm going to encourage you guys on the Facebook page and in our group, post your vision. You don't have to post every single word of it, but maybe like some of the things that you thought were too personal or too big or too huge or too spiritual or whatever. Have the courage to actually share your vision. If you have a website, post your vision on your website. People know that part of my vision is to have 1 million trainers by the year 2030. They know that I want to sell 1 billion Chicken Soup for the Soul books by the year 2030. They know that we have these courses that I want to see people graduate and become certified trainers in. I have a vision for writing 3 books this year, which I'm back on now for the first time this week. One of the things that I committed to was to start working on my book again, Living the Success Principles, and get that done. Because ever since COVID took over, I've been just basically developing new classes like this and doing lots of podcasts online and so forth and so on, just to keep, you know, the wheels turning in terms of our business and pivoting to the new way we're doing things. So anyway,
Jack, there's a question real quick. Like, a lot of people are saying, what does it mean to share my vision? Do I have to go into detail in all 7 categories?
Good question. Yeah. What I would ask you to do is actually sit down with somebody in person and share your vision in detail with that person out loud. You know, like take 5 minutes. I'd like to take 5 or 7 minutes and share. I just did this exercise in a training. And one of the things we're supposed to do is share it with somebody and you'll see, I want you to just see what happens when you share it. If this were a training where we had you in a room and we had like endless amounts of time, which we don't, what I would have you do is partner up with someone. You'd each share your vision with each other. And at the end of that, I'd say, how does your vision feel now? And you'd all say totally different things. It's not too personal. It's not so big. It's supported by other people. I didn't get judged, you know, on and on it goes. But I want you to have that experience with a live person. As far as putting it in the chat, I would say, put the parts that, not the chat so much, but in the in your Facebook group, put the parts that you might be afraid to share, or the reason you didn't share, the parts that were too personal, the parts that were too big, too huge, too spiritual, too woo-woo, too, you know, small, whatever you think. Because I think it's really important. You know, one of the things that we look at a lot in this work, and we'll do an exercise on it later in the program, is what do you hide and what does it cost you to hide? You know, we hide our enthusiasm, we hide our dreams, we hide our goals, we hide our reactions to things, we hide our wants, you know, we hide our desires for fear of other people judging us. And when we become really fully transparent about who we are and what we want, miracles start to happen. It's quite extraordinary. So anyway,
the people that you want in your life when you're honest about who you are.
Yes, yes.
You know, someone said, I'm hiding Jamie. As a shaman. And so when we hide, then the world and the universe can't support who we're supposed to become on lots of levels.
Yeah, a lot of us try to be who we think that people want us to be, so they'll like us. But then we never really know if they like us for us, or they like us just because of the act we're putting on. And the thing I found, the more intrinsically authentic I become and become really me and just own who I am and what I'm about and what I've done and what I want to do, then the people that are attracted to that come and want to work with me, want to be my friends, want to do trainings with me, want to study with me, et cetera. And so the more authentic you are, the more you are going to attract people that are attracted to the kind of person you are. And that becomes very fulfilling. We need to move on, or we won't get through the last section of this. So we're talking about how to manifest your vision. We can go to the next slide. We want to unleash the power of goal setting. So vision tends to be rather big. You know, I'd like to start a home for abandoned children. I'd like to write a best-selling book. I'd like to have my own podcast. I'd like to make a lot of money. I'd like to retire early. You know, they're in the general area, but they're not specific enough to actually produce the quantum leap that we want to do. And so one reason visions don't become realized as they are not turned into specific goals and objectives. So we can go to the next slide. And what happens is high achievers are goal setters. We know that from tons of research that we've done, that people who set goals are achievers. And we know just from this research that was done by Dr. Gail Matthews at Dominican University, that you've already done one of the major things that's important. And we're about to do another major thing, which is to write down our goal. Notice that she did a study with 250 people, and people that didn't write their goals down, just thought about them, 43% of them acted on their goal and got close to either achieving them or achieving them. The group that wrote their goal down, simply just wrote it down, 60%. So a 70% improvement. And we're going to be writing down a few goals before we end today. And that's going to help you. And then if you have written action steps, we only see 50% there. But I think the reason for that is sometimes people get caught in their plan and they don't respond to feedback and actually do the things that are coming forward. But that's theoretically my point of view. But then committing it to a friend, having an accountability partner, a coach, someone in the program, like you, many of you have accountability partners you've chosen to have, raises it more. And if you have to give a progress report, you get a 33% improvement from 43% to 76%. So we're going to at least get that 17% bump in just a minute. So if we can go to the next slide. Goals need to be written down and reviewed regularly. So we're going to have you write down a few goals and review them. And go to the next slide, please. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this because of time, but John Goddard, who's a friend of mine, when he was 15, made a list of 127 goals that he wanted to achieve before he died. And these are not minor goals. It's things like learn judo, take a college course, go through the Panama's and Suez Canals, climb on the Great Wall of China, explore the Okefenokee Swamp, become familiar with the compositions of pretty much everyone who ever wrote classical music, learn to play polo, you know. And once he had these goals written down, every year he would focus on two or three and go and make them happen. And literally, when I last talked to him, he'd achieved 117 of those goals. So we want you to have a list of, oh, it's 117 now, you know, up there in my slide. Go to the next page. Set measurable goals for every aspect of your vision. That's what we want you to do. And a goal is something I want, which is measurable in time and space. What does that mean? The key words are how much by when. In other words, how many square feet, how many dollars, how many square meters, how many pounds, how many kilos, how many clients, how many books sold, how many Facebook pages or Facebook friends I have, how many likes I got, you know, whatever it is, it's measurable in time and space. So we're going to go now. And what I want you to do is give you a couple examples. I'd like a winter home, might have been one of the possessions. A goal would be I will own a 2-bedroom beachfront villa on the west coast of Maui, Hawaii by August 19, 2021 at noon. Another example would be I'd like to make a difference in education in Mexico. And a goal would be I will conduct a self-esteem workshop for 30 teachers in Oaxaca, Mexico by 5 p.m. on August 19, 2021. So very specific, how much by when. Next slide, please. I'd like to increase my income. Well, who wouldn't? But a goal would be I will earn $300,000 per year by August 19th, 2021 at 5 p.m. So a year from now. And next slide, please. I'd like to spend more time with my wife. A goal would be specific. I will take 3 long weekend vacations and 1 2-week vacation with my wife by August 19th, 2021 at 5 p.m. And next slide, please. So what I want you to do for the next few minutes, I want you to look back at your vision. I'm not going to have you write a measurable objective or goal for every aspect of your vision right now because of time, but I'd like you to take one area of your vision and look at, you probably have many things you wanted, you know, like each area you might have said, I want to have, like, let's take health and fitness. You might have said, I wanted to weigh 135 pounds or less, or I wanted to have a personal trainer. I'd like to have my own gym set up in my home, like to have a Pilates machine, like to be able to run a marathon. So that's like 5 or 6 goals in one area, but they're not measurable yet. So I want you to say 1 year from now, so we've been out looking at our 90-year vision of our life. We cut it back to 5 years. Now I want to say in 1 year, what would you like to be able to say in this year, I've achieved this in this area of my life in relation to those goals you wrote down or vision aspects of your vision you wrote down. So again, how much by when? I will what by when? And go ahead and just, I'm going to be quiet for a moment, let you write. It's hard to concentrate if I'm talking over you. And then what you can do after you've written 2 or 3, you can write one in the chat. I'll be looking at the chat, and what'll happen is if I see a goal that's not written what I call correctly, how much by when, I will do a little teaching off that as you're writing a goal. So if you want to write a goal in the chat and get feedback on it, you can go ahead and do that. So it's for 1 year out. August 19th, 2021. What would you like to say you've achieved in one of those areas?
Jack, can you see Larry's question about adding the words at least or more?
Basically, if you you can say at least, or you can say or more or less than. Like I always say, weigh 125 pounds or less, because maybe you end up weighing 123 pounds. That's great. You can also say, you know, $300,000 or more. That's fine. You can do that. I will have sold 10,000 books by 1921. That's good. You always want to put the word will in there, or I will have. If you say I want to have my first book published, that's kind of a hope and an intention. But I will publish my first book by August 19th, 2021 is going to be more declarative. I will run a half marathon by August 19th, 2021, 11 p.m. Great. I will earn 10,000 a month by January 2021. Put the date, January what? January 1st or January 30th? If some intentions have a partner involved, you can still have the goal. The first goal might be to enroll my partner in being able to sell the house by a certain date. That would be a step toward that goal. I will hit tennis balls 2 times a week with my children. That's great. I would say by August 21, I would have published my book. I would say I will have published my book. Would kind of sounds like maybe might. Looking at some that are coming in, they're good. I will make $100,000 in my coaching business. I have left my current job. I will publish my first children's book. Good. 10,000 people on my email list. I will be a Boston Marathon qualifier by August 9th. That's good. I might say I will have qualified for the Boston Marathon. It might sound a little more punchy. Purchase my new piano. Good. I will not get frustrated. Let's stop on that one for a minute. If you say, I will not get frustrated, all your energy is on frustrated. So the unconscious does not hear the word not. So you don't want to say, I will not do this, or that I'll be, you know, I won't be smoking cigarettes, because it brings up the image of cigarettes. So, you know, whatever it was, it went by a little faster. I don't know if I can go back to it. I will not. What was it? Anyway. I will not get frustrated. What's the opposite of frustration? It would be like inner peace, acceptance, non-judgmentalness, whatever. You know, stated in a positive, I will experience complete, peace of mind about everything for 1 month or whatever the goal was that you wrote down there. I will shed another 15 pounds. That's not a good one. I'll tell you why. You want to state it, Kathy, as the goal. So I will shed another 15 pounds. It's better if it's stated as let's say you're 250 and you want to be at 235. I will weigh 235 or less by. We often say the goal should be stated so a third person could come by and measure it. Like they could measure how many square feet. They could see how many minutes you actually did it. They could look at your bank account. They would see the house on the water. They would see your diploma, et cetera. They would see books in a bookstore window. So state it that way. I will stay calm for 12 months. Again, put the date there. I will have stayed calm by, until the date. I would caution anybody on an emotional goal when you're saying every day, you're more than likely to fail. And then you failed for the whole year because you blew one day. So I often do something like, I will be calm 6 out of 7 days, something like that. So if you have an off day, your whole goal isn't blown out the window. I will have climbed 30 volcanoes in Guatemala. I didn't know that many in Guatemala. I've been up a couple of them. That's cool. Machu Picchu, very good. Okay, so you got the idea. You want to be specific and measurable and stated in the positive. And then what you want to do, guys, is to every day, from now on, slow down, Jack. What I want you to do is tonight or tomorrow, this weekend, but no later than this weekend, I'd like you to go through your entire vision and make every part of it a specific measurable goal that you can achieve by, 1 year from now. If you want to do it as the 5-year goal, you could do that as well. And then I would encourage you, take 3 areas or 3 goals, and where would you like to be 30 days from now? So you have a 30-day focus. You know, if your goal is to make $100,000, how much would you need to make in terms of, you know, the next 30 days? Or what would you need to do to generate the activities that would start to do that? So you'll see in the homework that you'll be getting, be downloaded, you'll be able to download, it'll come to you later today. It says in the space below, set three specific measurable goals that you will achieve in the coming year. And then below, what's a 30-day goal? And then ultimately, we want you to do what's one action step you can take today before you go to bed at night, one action step you can take that would move you in the direction of completing that 30-day goal. So life is basically about taking step after step after step to get you where you want to go. And we take our big goals, our life vision, our purpose, and we cut it down into, you know, 5-year goals, 1-year goals, 1-month goals, goals for this week, goals for today. And if you keep doing those in that order, you will get to where you want to go. Often people don't know what to do to get to the next level. If that's the case, what you want to do is find somebody who's already done it, whether it's online, in a book. I mean, there's books on flipping real estate. There's books on starting a yoga practice. There's books on how to get more coaching clients. There's books on, you know, earning more money online. Whatever it is you want to do, somebody's done it. And as Tony Robbins says, they've left clues. Could be a course, could be a TED Talk, could be a YouTube video, whatever it might be. Well, so you can reach out to people. I'll just share three quick stories and then we'll do some Q&A if you'd like to stick around. One was I was in Dallas. I was about to go on TV on a show and I was getting makeup put on in the makeup room, the green room. And I asked the makeup artist, I said, what's your dream? What do you want to do? And she said, I want to own my own salon. And I said, well, that's a great dream. What are you doing to make that happen? And she said, nothing. And in a kind of smart ass way, I said, well, that's a terrible strategy. That won't get you there. And she said, you know, you're right, but I don't know what to do. I said, I have a radical idea. Why don't you find someone who owns a salon and ask them how they did it? And she went, wow, that's a good idea. Now, to me, it's obvious. Someone's done what you want to do. See if you can take them to lunch, buy them breakfast, you know, coffee, talk to them on the phone for 10 minutes, ask them to mentor you, whatever. And just say, you know, what advice would you have for someone who wants to do what you've done? Most people are flattered by that. You're not going to get to Bill Gates probably, but you can get to local people in your community who will help you if you ask. And, you know, we teach ask, 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 ask. Might have to ask several people to get there, but there are lots of people who'd be willing to tell you. And then the other thing I wanted to just share really quickly is a story about contribution. You know, today we focused, Patty talked about Lynn Twist. We talked about having enough, not having so much that you can't, you know, nobody else has anything. Obviously, if you do become wildly wealthy, you can contribute. You can make a difference through contribution, through philanthropy, through starting a nonprofit organization, whatever. But I'll tell you a quick story about why things, because we focus on possessions, don't always get you the joy you want. And one of the things you'll see in the homework assignment today is when you go and you get your notebook, you download your PDF file. Tell that person to go away for a minute. So what happens is when you download your PDF file, you'll see that you'll have the vision and then it'll say, why? What's the why? Why do you want that? I remember I wanted a certain kind of car. I was living in West Los Angeles in Pacific Palisades and everyone was driving Mercedes-Benz and Lexuses and BMWs and I'm driving this old Toyota and, or I think it was a Honda actually. And so it was, I remember doing an exercise. What do you want? I want a Lexus. Why? And when I got really down to the bottom of it, it was like, well, I want to feel like I belong when I pull up to the traffic light and people won't be looking at me like I don't belong in this neighborhood. And then it was like, well, what do you want? What do you really want? I want to belong. And belonging doesn't require a car, you know? And what would you feel if you belonged? Well, I'd feel at peace. I'd feel happy. I'd feel less stress. And what would you feel if you felt less stress? I'd feel at peace. And peace became the bottom line. There was nothing below that. Now, I don't have to go spend $70,000 on a car to feel peace. That's achievable through meditation, through, you know, lots of ways. So the point being, what's the why? What's motivating you to want what you want? And that's fine to have that why. But sometimes you can find the why is easier to get to than maybe some of the hard things you think you have to pursue to get there. But the last story is about a guy who I met at a conference where everyone was a very high achiever. It was called the Achievers Network, and they were giving out awards and to people that were like Supreme Court justices. And I was getting one for the Chicken Soup for the Soul series. And this one guy got up to speak, Ken, and he said that his life had gone through, I think it was three or four stages. The first stage he said was stuff. This guy was worth $600 million. He had once owned the Seattle Seahawks football team. And he said, my first life was called stuff. If I thought I had all the right stuff, I'd be happy. I have the car, I have the boat, I have the house. And he made a lot of money and bought the perfect house with the big viewing room with all the comfortable seats, you know, to show movies. He had a whole fleet of cars, exotic car collection. He had all the jewelry for his wife that one could possibly have. He had a private plane and a boat. He wasn't happy. And he said, so the next stage was called better stuff. And so he bought a bigger car, a bigger plane, a bigger house, a bigger, you know, and he said, I still wasn't happy. And then he said, the third stage of my life was called different stuff. I said, maybe I'm buying the wrong kind of stuff. If I had like a football team, then I'd be happy. So he buys the Seattle Seahawks with a couple of guys and sits in the owner's booth, gets to go on TV, still not happy. And then this guy called him, a friend of his, and said he was going over to Bosnia-Herzegovina. He's going to take 40 wheelchairs, give them to kids who had lost their legs during landmines that had gone off during the war that was going on there, or perhaps they were born congenitally that way. Anyway, long story short, he flies over to Bosnia-Herzegovina. They land on the tarmac. There's all these kids lined up in wheelchairs. Not in wheelchairs, just on blankets on the tarmac. And one by one, they start putting these kids in these 40 wheelchairs they brought over. Now these kids are going to be mobile for the first time in their life because they come from poor families. As he's picking up this one 11-year-old boy, very thin 11-year-old boy, he puts him in a wheelchair. And he starts to go away to get another wheelchair for the next kid. And the little boy grabs his leg and says, please don't leave yet. And through tears and an interpreter, he said, I want to memorize your face. So when we meet again in heaven, I can thank you one more time. And Ken said, that was the first time in my life I felt pure joy. And he came home to America and he started the Ken Behring Wheelchair Foundation. And he's given away thousands and thousands and thousands of wheelchairs all across the world. And he said, I've never been happier. So I would really encourage you to think about that area of contribution. One of the things I've noticed since the pandemic is I've made a big commitment in the beginning to be of service to more people during the beginning of all that, just reaching out, helping everyone I could get over their fear, figure out what to do. And I was happy. I'm still happy teaching you guys. So anyway, think about that. And Patty, if you want to say anything before we open it up to Q&A.
I think this is a great, it's a great topic. And I was thinking about that because I was writing in that first vision of all the things, where we've been, what we've done, the impact we've made, the stuff we have. And, you know, and I thought stuff can suddenly just be stuff and less is more. Unless that stuff taught me something that I needed to learn. And so I always look at it from a grateful standpoint of that Ferrari didn't make me happy. My watch makes me happy because it reminds me of what happens when we set a goal to make a difference in the lives of others. And so how, you know, it's just kind of more, I try to take it deeper and deeper. And so I encourage everyone that to think about that because it's really about, is this goal gonna make me who I'm meant to become? And what the world needs from me in order to help serve the world. And so when you do that, it just gives it a whole different spin. That's all I think you covered it really well.
I love it. That's important. I think that, yeah, I have a lot of possessions. And the ones that really mean something to me are ones that are related to experiences and people that I have, pictures of vacations, pictures of being in Africa with my family, pictures of you and me and the group in Hawaii doing a retreat, you know, things like that. Even my diplomas, which are kind of like, oh, you did that. But those were wonderful experiences, me being in graduate school, learning, etc. Okay, so let's open it to Q&A real quick and see if anyone has a question they'd like to type into the chat, and we'll stay on for a few minutes and we'll answer them. If you need to go, because I know we've run a little bit over, we understand that. Don't worry about it. Make sure you commit to doing at least one action step tonight that will take you toward the fulfillment of one of your goals. And every day you want to practice something called the rule of five. Do five action steps toward making some of those goals come true. And we'll talk more about that later too, when we talk more about how to be in action, stay in action, and keep in action even when things are difficult.
There was a great question up here.
Oh, good.
Betty said, I have learned more in less than 2 months than I have in years. What is the best way to start sharing this transformation, and when is the best time?
Well, you can share your transformational experiences with anyone. That'll inspire them. You can share anything you're learning. We give you permission to share with other people. If there's a thing we did, some technique that we use, feel free to do that with family and friends and your work group, whatever. Also, we do have a course called Train the Trainer Online, where you can actually learn to do what we do. All the exercises are there, the things you're experiencing, and then how to set them up and do them with other people. There's hours and hours and hours of instruction, all the word for word scripts, the workbook pages are there. I find a lot of people will take a course like this and they say, I want to grow up and do this. That was kind of what happened to me back in college when I was taking that first course in psychology. And so I encourage you to, one of the best ways to learn anything is to teach it. When we ask people at the end of our Train the Trainer Online, what was the best aspect of the course? They always say learning about me, taking myself through the process, and then turning around and teaching it to others, because we ask people to actually teach some and get feedback and then share what they're learning and so forth. And but whenever you're not clear, it's going to show up in your teaching. Your students are going to ask you a question you can't answer, which is great, because now you got to go find the answer. And what happens is now you know. And so it's one of the best ways to learn anything is to teach it.
I think it's important too to say, I just want to share something I learned today that was really cool or interesting, and not something that, if you come back and say, I learned something I think you need to know, lots of times people will need, it becomes this judgmental thing in the beginning. So it's always nice to model what you've learned before you. And people want to know more when you're modeling it. You talked about it earlier, the importance of sharing your vision, enrolling people in your dream. And it gets people excited and enrolled, and they want to help, and they want to be part of that, and it becomes viral.
Yeah, I would say, we often say be a product of the product, which means live the principles. There was a great teacher who just died this last year. His name was Ram Dass, and he was a professor at Harvard when I was an undergraduate. He was a psychology professor and later got into spiritual things, and he was over in India and he was teaching meditation. And one of his students wrote back from Washington, state of Washington. They said, Dear Ram Dass, whenever I talk about Buddhism, my parents hate me. Whenever I act like the Buddha, they love me. And so it's not so much about indoctrinating people with what you're learning. And, don't be always saying, Jack says, but actually just live the principles, be the result, be the joy, the happiness, the fulfillment. And people will go what are you doing? Why are you so happy? Why are you getting more? How come you're making more money? How come your business is working better than mine? I want to respond to something Stephanie wrote in here. She said, I'm feeling very scared about the thought of sharing my vision with someone today. I'm thinking my husband is the obvious choice, but it feels very vulnerable. Like if I tell him what I want to achieve, he will think I'm crazy. I should say that he is super supportive as well. Well, I would go with the super supportive. And what you might do is start by saying, I've got this assignment. I'm a little bit nervous about it. I'm feeling vulnerable. My fear is you're going to think I'm crazy, but I want to go ahead and share this with you anyway. So share the fear. It's okay. You put a context around it and then go ahead and share it and then see what happens, And I will tell you, one of the best books I ever read, but I don't need you to read it, but just the concept, is called What You Think of Me Is None of My Business. And the idea is your husband will either like it or not. You don't need his permission to do it. Patty runs a group called Permission Granted, like giving yourself permission to be who you are, do what you want to do, et cetera, and quit waiting for other people, our husbands, our parents, our friends, the church, whatever, to give us permission. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. And if you're not, it's okay. Not everyone is going to support your vision. Not everyone supports the end of racism in America. Not everyone supports letting immigrants into our country. Not everyone supports people being on vegetarian diets, but people do it. And, not everyone supports either the Democratic or the Republican candidate for presidency. It's never happened that everyone got 100% of anything. And you probably won't either. But you'll probably get enough from the right people that you'll be able to move ahead and fulfill your vision.
We'll also change your story about a response. I mean, you know, we've always had big visions. I'm a crazy person with big visions. And I sometimes would even go to Jack and say, I have this idea. That's like, and he'd think I was nuts. And then he would ask me 100 questions and then say, okay, now I'm clear about your vision. I think we can do it. But in the beginning, I would just get really defensive, like, what? And so we never got to that choice of walking through the whole thing. And so sometimes too, it's, you might say, if it's somebody in your family or someone close to you, what story do you have around my vision? And it might just be, I'm scared. I'm worried you're going to quit that job and start this new thing. Then we won't have money. And so it's like unpack the conversation to create a deeper, meaningful life for yourself.
Right.
Because hiding is boring and shallow at some level. That's not a judgment. It just means that you live this very shallow, not deep. You know, even the fights and scary stuff become wonderful pieces of who you become when you're willing to just have that vulnerability. And it is scary. I mean, when she said that, it's scary. And it's almost way more scary to share it with the people that are the closest to you.
Yes.
My husband would say to me, why do you tell strangers on planes your life story? Like, because they don't know me, they won't judge me, but they won't wonder, can I really do that? Can I not do it? They think it's exciting and interesting. And so the closer you get to home, the more real it becomes. But if you say it over and over and over, one day you're gonna wake up and say, wow, what's my new goal? What's my new vision? What's going to take me to that next level? Because now this seems status quo. Yeah.
I remember when my ex-wife, Georgia, which, you know, that was like 30 years ago or longer, 40 almost, in terms of this event I'm going to tell you about. I remember I came home from an educational conference and I said to my wife, I'm going to start a foundation. She said, we have no money. You're going to start a foundation? Rich people start foundations. I said, no, we're going to raise money by putting on conferences for educators. And then we're going to keep the money that's the profit from that and use it to fund next year's, you know, conference. So there's no profit being taken out of it. And she was really against me doing that. She had all the reasons. I'm already too busy. You're too over, you know. And I said, thank you for your contribution. And I went ahead and started the foundation. And that foundation, which became the Foundation for Self-Esteem, literally has gotten over 800,000 people off welfare in California with a program we developed called the Goals Program. So sometimes the people next to you, they don't believe in you as much as you do because they've seen you a lot. They kind of know some of your weaknesses, which strangers don't necessarily. But, you know, that's an example of, I didn't get the support that I wanted, but I went ahead and did it anyway, and it turned into something that's still today active and doing really good work. There's a question here called, what's the difference between goals and objectives? A goal can be an objective. Usually in business terms, a goal would be a long-term thing, like a year-long goal. And then we would have short-term objectives that we have to meet along the way to get to that goal. But they could be used interchangeably. But goals usually refer to something a little longer out. And an objective would be something I'm going to achieve today or next week or next month in order to get to the longer goal. Any other questions you see, Jocelyn, that we should respond to?
We had one from Nick. He said, I'm starting to walk toward my real dreams and my vision, and I have a lot of fear and doubts coming up. Sometimes it's paralyzing. Any tips for overcoming this? I know we're going to talk about that more in depth, but.
Read it one more time. I ended up looking over in the chat and wasn't paying attention. I apologize.
I'm starting to walk toward my real dreams and vision, and I have a lot of fear and doubts coming up. Sometimes it's paralyzing. Any tips on overcoming this?
Can I start with that, Jack?
I think you can. Go ahead.
I would say, Nick, that start, you know, there's actions and things that you need to do in the beginning. So do them first thing in the morning. As Jack always talks about the rule of five, just from where you are right now today. I always say that the ideas or the dreams that I have in the morning seem like crazy insanity by the evening. And so if you have to start to take those actions, do them first. And Jack, you can add on to that on 10 paragraphs or less.
Well, what I would say is that anytime you set a goal that's bigger than you've accomplished before, three things always come up, what we call fears and considerations and roadblocks. And fears are the emotional side. Considerations are the mental side. Why I can't do it. That's more of a doubt is a content driven. And then roadblocks are real things in the world. Like my husband doesn't want me to spend the money on that. There's a law against that. Like, you know, if you want to smoke marijuana, not in every state can you do that. That's a roadblock. If you want to start a business opening a dispensary, you can't do that in certain states. Other states you can, because there's an external rule. So there will be roadblocks. There'll be considerations, you know, content about like, I can't do this, or we don't have the money, I'm too old, I'm too young. And then fears, you know, what happens if I lose the investment? What happens if I get judged? What happens if everyone laughs at me? What happens if my husband says, I told you so? So basically, that's natural. That's like, you're going to have contractions if you're going to have a baby, you know, you're going to have to go through that. And so birthing something is going to have those little things you have to deal with. And so just know that. And part of the goal, part of the value of being in a class like this and doing this work is that you're going to learn how to master those fears, master those emotions, and not let them stop you. Because whatever's coming up now for whatever it is you're working on is stuff that's been stopping you your whole life. Those, you know, we always say how you do anything is how you do everything. So those same fears, considerations, and not always the same roadblocks, because it's not always the same goal in terms of real world outside things that can stop you. But the idea is it's those same beliefs, those same fears that have been running us most of our life. So when you set a big goal, I use this metaphor of the whack-a-mole. You've ever been to the arcade or to the county fair or down on the board, what do they call that, the pier in Santa Monica. They'll have these games where you can put a dollar in and then there's the holes and you get a hammer and these little mole heads come up. You got to whack them before they go back down again. Every time you do, you get a point. You get enough points, you win a prize, you know, a stuffed animal or something. And so when you set the big goal, all these mole heads start to show up, which are the fears, the considerations, and the roadblocks, which have been unconscious. They've been below the surface. They haven't come out of their holes. Now you can see them. Now you can deal with them. All fear is you visualizing a terrible outcome in the future. And if you visualize it strong enough and big enough, you will paralyze yourself. We know that. People become literally, they can't move. You know, we know like they're frozen in fear, you know, fight, flight, or freeze. And so, but that's you doing it to you. You know, I always say, even if there's a bear 20 feet away from you walking toward you, in that right now you're fine. You know, you're 20 feet away from the bear. You have to start thinking like, I'm going to die to feel fear. Otherwise, you could just be going, wow, there's a bear coming at me. Look at his brown fur. Isn't that fascinating? He's getting closer. He's got big claws. That would be being in a state of awareness. Now, that's an extreme example. But the idea being, it's okay to have those come up. When they do, process them. How am I scaring myself? What am I imagining? What am I believing? Is it true? Is it real? What's the worst thing that could happen? What's the best thing that could happen if I did this? Is the best, you know, more likely? Is it worth taking the risk? Do I need to scale it down? Maybe not make it so big, the goal, whatever. But there's a lot of ways to deal with that. We'll be talking about some of that in the future.
So there was, just quickly, sidebar, there was a cool video that I watched on YouTube yesterday of this bear that gets up, walks into this picnic area and sits down next to a family that's eating their sandwiches. And the guy makes the bear a sandwich and hands it to him. That's a different response than most, right?
Yeah. I did a webinar yesterday and I was talking about humor and I was saying how you could go on, I'm going to say A-L-E-X-A. Rather than the word, because otherwise the one behind me will say, yes, how can I help you? And but what happens is every day I ask her to tell me a joke. And just and the jokes are terrible. I laugh because of how bad they are. And the one yesterday was a bear walks into a bar, says, I'd like to order a bourbon and a Coke. And the bartender says, why the long pause? And he says, I've always had long pause. That's what bears have. Anyway, stupid joke, but you said bears, it reminded me.
Well, it was clean, so you don't have a lot of those.
I know.
One question that, I think it's Jad, how you say it, but she wanted to know about sharing her vision with her 9-year-old. Is that okay?
I think it's fine. I think parents should model being visionaries, being goal setters, being people who have dreams. I mean, if there's aspects of it that might be a little not understandable by a 9-year-old, you know, depending on what that might be. But I think in general, 9-year-olds are pretty sophisticated these days. They've watched enough television and been on the internet enough to know pretty much about everything. And I would say, I would also ask your child, you know, where would you like to be a year from now, 5 years from now? What's your vision? You know, and, you know, we have a story we often tell about a little boy who was told that he was going to die. And within a year, he had cancer, you know, maybe give him 6 months to live. And his parents said, you know, we wanted to know, you know, what did you want to be when you grow up? He said, I want to be a fireman. Now, they'd live with him for years, but they never asked him that. They didn't know he wanted to be a fireman, never talked about it. So a lot of times we don't even know what our kids are thinking about. So I would say modeling the best thing you can do for your child is to become a successful person, work on yourself, and then show them what that looks like so they'll grow up and do that as well.
Do you have time for one more?
I have time for a couple more.
Okay. A couple of people have asked this, but how do you recommend getting beyond that disappointment mindset when your goals don't manifest?
Basically, you have to say, okay, if it hasn't manifested yet, let's look at why. What is it that's getting in the way? And usually it's several things. It's not knowing what to do and not having the courage to reach out and find out. Number two, it's called fear, which we just talked about. And number three, it's called limiting beliefs. And often those limiting beliefs are beliefs that you don't even know you have. We're going to do a deep exercise, you know, somewhere in the next couple of weeks about limiting beliefs, where we'll help you identify and release a limiting belief that may be keeping you from achieving one of these things that you've set. If you have a goal, and I saw another one from Maria that said something similar, you know, I've been putting things on my vision board and, you know, when they don't manifest, I get disappointed. How do I avoid that? Because they haven't manifested for years. Two things. One thing I've noticed over the years is sometimes people put goals on their vision board every year because they're shoulds. You know, I remember I have a friend, he died recently, Lou Tice, but he was a great teacher of this work. And I remember hearing an interview with him, and he drank wine. And he said, you know, I didn't want to give up drinking wine. Now, I knew that I would gain weight if I drank wine. He said, I came to peace with, I'd rather be a little overweight and enjoy my wine. And so he didn't put lose weight every year on his goal anymore. You know, he never got like, you know, what should I say, clinically obese, but he definitely was heavy set. And so he was at peace with that. And therefore he wasn't putting that on his goal anymore. I think a lot of people put things on their goal list that they think they should do, that they don't really want to do. And then they don't happen because they don't really want to do them. And then the other reason I said is like, there's a deep-seated fear, but more than likely it's a belief that it's not possible. I'm not smart enough. I don't have the money. It's not okay. We've had people come get in touch with, it's not okay to make more money than my father. It's not okay to make more money than my siblings because they'll be jealous. It'll hurt their feelings. I can't perform athletics better than my brother because I'm a girl and it'll hurt his self-esteem. All these decisions that people made as kids that are now still running their life. And so basically, those are the reasons. And I said, we'll be addressing some of those with some exercises that we'll be doing. But don't give up on your dreams. Keep finding out. I remember there's a guy, Jake Ballantyne, who you know, is a friend of ours. And he had a goal his wife wanted to have a baby. And she was not getting pregnant. And I remember him saying to me, I've tried everything. I said, everything? You've actually ate only peas for like 9 months just to see if that would work. And he said, no, I've never done that. So then you haven't tried everything. Not that peas would work, but I was just playing with him. And I said, I want you to really take 100% responsibility and look at your life and say, is there something I could have done that I've not done? And he realized he'd read an article once about when you're overweight, it can affect the virility of your sperm, you know, for a better term. And so he decided to lose a lot of weight. And I think he lost like 50 or 60 pounds, and his wife got pregnant. And so the reality is that a lot of times there's just something you don't know yet. So you've got to look at a lot of different ways, try a lot of different things. But if you're not doing it, you know, there are people that were overweight when we were doing Isagenix, which is a multi-level marketing company that deals with weight loss products. I was involved with that for a while because I wanted to lose weight. John Gray wrote Men Are From Mars. He was part of that. And we discovered that there were certain women who, even when they would start the program, wouldn't finish it. And what we found for the majority of these women, these were like very heavy women, like 300 pounds or more, that when they would start to lose weight, they would start to have fear come up. And every one of these women had been sexually molested as a child. And one of the decisions they made was, if I'm fat, I won't be attractive. No one will be attracted to me. No one's going to rape me anymore. And so they'd forgotten they made that decision when they were like 15 or 16 or 17. And here they were, you know, 40 years old. But every time they started to lose weight, they'd have this fear come over them. And they wouldn't know why, but they would start eating again. And so when we get in touch with these limiting beliefs that are under the surface, quite often when they're popped and replaced with a positive belief, manifestation occurs very, very quickly.
I think that was all of the questions that I saw, at least.
So okay.
You got them answered. And everyone is saying happy birthday.
I see that. And people are putting some very bad jokes in the pet chat too. I love it.
we'll make sure you get a mung bean cake, Jack.
Someone says, two nuns walked into a bar. You think the second one would have ducked.
That was Mark Haynes. Mark, I don't even get that joke. Did you get it?
Well, they walked into a bar. Like there's a bar that hit their head.
Okay. I was like, what? See, that's why I have to keep you around. I don't get jokes.
I know. I'm always explaining jokes. Can't remember. You and my wife. I swear to God. You're funny.
At least I don't remember the joke, so you can say them over and over.
My favorite bar joke is that two Irishmen walked out of a bar. Like that would ever happen.
That one I get.
Growing up in an Irish family. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us. Make sure you go and download your workbook, do the homework, and stay in the process. I just did a cold shower. I've been doing cold showers now all month. I noticed that was one of the things you did. And I know Tony Robbins actually runs and jumps into like a ice cold lake or something every morning. There's something called shock proteins that wake you up. But ever since I started doing that, I feel more energy. So I think it's a good thing to do. Plus, if I take a hot shower, I end up sweating all day. It was 115 in the valley yesterday, Patty, where you grew up.
I know.
It's insane.
Can I say one more thing? Because I forgot to mention it earlier.
Go ahead. If you're still on,
we have our guest expert call next week. So Dr. Cheryl Frazier is coming on as our guest expert, and she's a relationship expert. So if you are interested in more fulfilling relationships, especially romantic partnership relationships, I think it will be a really good call.
Good time to create the vision around what you want your relationship to look like before she gets on the call.
Yes. Yeah, very good. All right, everybody.
Have a great day, everyone.
Thanks,
Have
Patty. Thanks, Jack. Jocelyn. Thanks, all of you for being here.
Bye, Joss.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.